Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on the 8th of August 2019. In the call, we have Matt, Michael, Marjana, Dennis, Michael, and Pitina. Over to you, Marjana.
Okay, we have the same agenda as last two or three telephone calls. And the first thing is again, Latin small letters, sharp S versus double S. And I will ask Dennis to take the lead and lead us through this topic. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Mirjana. Hello, everyone. So last time we left looking at the slides, trying to do a visual summary of the issues, and then Matt also wrote as a follow-up, so I'm going through that. Sorry I didn't have the time to do this earlier, but I mean, I think we can quickly address Matt's comments. So thank you, Pitina, for putting that slide on the screen. So Matt's on the follow-up email of Friday, August 2. First point is about the resolution of the ASCII. So that's a good catch. Yep. So there is no IDNA involved in ASCII resolution. So now you can see that it's just one line, and there is no discrimination as to IDNA 3 or 8. On your second one, sorry, you want to say something?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. The second one in option 2, still think it's unfair to flag addresses failure of service as red. I thought about it. I mean, at the beginning, I was kind of on the fence. So going on this slide, right? Because here, the activation of it, it's outside ICANN's ICANN's control, and the routes on LGR just can designate whether in this case, a variant is allocatable or not, but it's going to be up to a third party to decide whether they want that variant activated or not, or if they want it, in fact, they will activate it. So, but I see your point, and just make a differentiation with option 3, where there is no option 4 activation. I think it's fair to make a distinction on that point. But again, right, on option 2, the activation, it really requires the participation of a third party, which is under non-control of ICANN. So, but I mean, to your point of differentiation with option 2 from option 3, I think that's a fair differentiation. So I'm changing that red to green. I'm sorry, to orange now. The other point that you made is on the second slide. And it says on slide 2, you display the dot fast with double S variant as a three-way choice, but in reality, to the effect on failure of service, it is only a two-way. Either fast is in the DNS or it's not in the DNS. And that's, I mean, to some extent is true, right? As a failure of service, yeah, whether it's active or not. But here, the intention was to display the possibilities of that variant being allocatable. Not so much about whether it's going to be a failure or service or not, but if it's allocatable, what are the possibilities for that variant TLD? It's maybe going to be withheld from for the registry operator until such moment they decide to apply for it, or whether it's allocated, but the registry operator decides not to activate it, and the other possibilities that it is allocated and activated. So it's to reflect the possibilities, not just, I mean, in the lens of the LGR, right? And the possible outcomes of that label being allocatable. So I'm going to pause there. And Matt, I see your hand.
Yeah, I think it's I mean, the discussion is interesting and it's important for us to understand. But here we talk about the security issues. And from a security point of view, it's only a two-way choice. Either it's there, activated, fuzzies in DNS as a TLD, or it's not. And then there are different reasons why FOSS is not in DNS. There could be different reasons, and it's withheld by ICANN or it's not they decide not to allocate it or activate it. So there are different possibilities, but this description here, when we talk about the security issue, I insist that it's only a two-way choice, either or.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Matt. But the slide, the visual is trying to capture a different, slightly different thing. And the... Right, the failure save is denoted by the X, whether it addresses it or does not address it, that possibility.
Right, but if we go down to the example, it might be that the law in the country forbids them to register it, so that's a four-way choice.
I'm sorry, what's the fourth?
I mean, it could be, for example, .fuzz. It could be that the law forbids them to activate it. So there are other possibilities, theoretical possibilities, but from a failure of service and a misconnection point of view, it's only a two-way option. Either or, either it's in DNS or not. I mean, you don't get different replies in your web browser if it's withheld or if it's allocated. You get the same result in the web browser.
Yeah, again, Matt, you're not wrong. But the visual is representing the possibilities of that label as far as the allocation to a registry operator, not the how it, whether we're not trying to portray here whether it's activated or not activated. It's that label being allocated or not, what are the different possibilities? So slightly different things. Meka?
Yes, thank you. So I find the thought of Mats logically convincing, that it's really only a two-way choice. And I don't think it's so much about whether his view is right or wrong. I think it's more about whether the other choices which you presented here in these slides are relevant to our discussions and to what degree and something like that. And then I found that the differentiation between the different IDNA standards, which is present in these slides, it seems to me that this was the same kind of critique which was raised about my earlier graphics or illustration I had produced. So I think the issue is there and pertaining, but it's okay if we find a standard way to deal with this. Thank you.
So I'm following the chat here. Michael, I agree with Matt. The reason why the TLD is not activated is irrelevant. And theoretically, there might be several more reasons why it's not active. The point is simply that TLDs do not exist in DNS. I'm not sure what we're solving for here is to define right on slide one whether either of those solution addresses the issue of stability. So I think we should focus on that. The slide number two just went on the possibilities of the allocatable, just to visualize what might happen to that label. So let's go back to number one. Thank you. So this is the summary of all the solutions. Again, this is just a visual representation of the Word document, trying to find the balance as to, so what are we going to resolve of this, right? Are we solving for stability? Are we solving for usability? Or are we solving for both? And how do we measure, how do we weight which one is more important so that it drives to a solution? So if we can go back to the document, please, Pitina. And we go to the matrix. So, I mean, if you remember, we were going through this exercise trying to establish what are the attributes that we want to measure against each of the options, but because there was some confusion as to the fundamentals of the issue, we kind of took a step back and tried to define, and everybody's understanding on the issues, and that's why we went through the slides and you know, so that everybody has the same understanding baseline and us to the issue. And I think we reached to a point that we know where we are now. I mean, everybody understands what the issue is, what's the behavior of the applications using different protocols, and what are the outcomes of it. So I think we should go back to this matrix. I mean, if we all agree that's the way we want to resolve, how do we choose which option is the best for the LGR here? Any other comments, observations, or suggestions? Okay, so hearing none. So I think the way we should do this is, so we are balancing, let's start with this, right? So it's only two attributes to balance. I mean, it's in the title, right? Let's start with that. Stability versus inclusion. Are those are two values that we want to measure against for each option and give a rating. So let me do this. Are those the two attributes that we want to measure for each of the options? If we agree on these two attributes, we need to assign a weight depending on which one is more important. And then from there, we choose a rating. It could be 1 through 5, 1 to 10, and see how those, you know, when we add up the scores and how do we, the highest score will be the option that it most align with the attributes. Michael, please go ahead.
Thank you. My question would be again, what is stability of the root zone in this context? Because based on the slides, there are several factors involved. So how do we assign a singular value to a multi-factor consideration? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Michael. So the stability, it's misconnection and failure of series. That's the two options, right? That's the spectrum. And the spectrum, it's going to be the scale or the rating that we want to use. It's either, for example, here it suggested we use 1 through 5, right? When 1 is a poor alignment, I'm sorry, or is weak, and 5 definitely, you know, addresses the issue. So having a 5-point scale gives some granularity, if you will, instead of just black and white or a 0-1 choice. So Meka, just go ahead.
Yes. So it seems to me that, for example, misconnection and failure of service still are of a significantly different weight.
So you are suggesting that we open up the stability of the root zone into the two issues?
Well, as I had argued, as I tried to argue earlier, I'm not entirely sure how much failure of service is a factor we can actually consider in our approach, because to a large degree, it seems to be out of our hands. Misconnection seems to be something we can control to a large degree. So, and since I gave examples of other internet standards such as email, where failure of service seems not to have stopped operators from introducing labels such as the email example, it still seems to me that failure of service is much less a problem than misconnection. And I'm not sure if we should consider failure of service, but we certainly cannot value it or consider it to the same degree as misconnection. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. I keep hearing you using the email example, and email is the choice of a email administration, right? The policy of whoever is offering that email address is their choice, and whether they knowingly or unknowingly, if that's a word, they are releasing those email addresses. And to your point, that's their choice. Here, we are working on behalf of the root zone, LGR. So what's going to be the root zone's policy as to the inclusion or not of this code point vis-a-vis the stability of it. Matt, see your hands up.
Yes. I think that Michael has a valid point there, because even though we are kind of working on behalf of the root zone, I mean, the root zone is not has no value on its own. the question is the situation for the users. So what will happen if we introduce something which creates a misconnection and denial of service? And again, I mean, if you choose to register a domain name which is problematic, then it could be seen as equivalent as creating a domain name which is problematic. And in a way, if you create an IDN domain name, you introduce a problem, a kind of a denial of service. If I create a domain name with the Swedish letters, the non-ASCII, and print that, then Americans would have a hard time entering those unless they are skilled. So that's a denial of service built in IDN. So I think that Michael has a valid point, and of course misconnection is definitely worse than denial of service, and I think we should really take that much, and I think that's what we agreed on some weeks ago when we talked about it, that misconnection is much worse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Michael and then Bill.
Thank you. I kind of agree with what Mats said just now. Also, I would like to call again to our attention the case I tried to explain earlier from the Arabic LGR, where was the case that there were three types of letters which were used by three different user communities. And in some forms, they kind of tend to have the same shape. And you cannot type them, however, in all parts of the user community, because what your keyboard produces depends on your locale. And so effectively, people also produce something like a failure of connection in some of these cases, which is why, for example, the Arabic script community has suggested that some variants be automatically activated in a second level proposal, because they considered it necessary for what they called international reachability. So they did permit characters to the root zone, which could not be typed in some locales, but still, they permitted those characters to the root zone, taking into consideration and accepting the potential that they might not be accessible to some parts of the user community. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. But I don't see how is that relevant to this conversation here.
Okay, maybe I'm missing.
You want to review?
Yeah. So my point is that we do have a case where another panel, which created an LGR, had no problem introducing code points into their root zone LGR, which may not be accessible to some parts of the user community, therefore automatically accepting the potential for a failure of service, but not misconnection. And I think this speaks to the fact that failure of connection is not nearly on the same level as misconnection, or even to be considered at all. Is this clear somehow?
So I understand what you're explaining. I also read the Arabic LGR proposal. But I don't see how, I mean, it has nothing to do with the stability, right? We're dealing here is with the stability.
But again, it depends on what you define stability as. If stability means you want to go to something and you're redirected to something else, wrongly, that is an issue for stability. If you want to go to something and you just cannot reach it, that's a matter of arbitration or a matter of debate whether that's actually an issue for stability. So this
but it,
plays
in the case of the Arabic LGR, the user is inputting something that is not the right domain name. Right here, the case of the sharp edge is that the user intends to go to a website, right? Using a certain code point, he's typing that character and he's redirected to something different. So the issues are not related.
I don't quite understand how the situation is not the same or comparable.
Because on the Arabic, what you're describing in the Arabic is that the user is typing something that he thinks he's typing, right? Because how the Arabic script is used in different languages, but yeah, he types it. Yeah, the character or the code point is, or the character looks the same, but it's not the same code point. He's typing something that he's not supposed to type. But here, the stability issue is the user is typing something and something in the middle, the application level, is redirecting to a different domain name. So in one case, is the application that is manipulating the DNS query, whereas in the other in the example that we're giving is the user is mistyping the domain name as any other people, you know, making typos when they're typing domain names.
I'm not sure if I follow quite, but whether or not the right resource will be accessed from a point of view of the user depends on the linguistic expectation of the user. So if the user types something which he considers equivalent to what's in the string, then it's the same kind of issue, isn't it?
Not sure. Like, so let's draw a line right now because we have a queue. So I want to give Bill and Matt opportunity to chime in too. Bill and then Matt.
I too am totally failing to follow what Dennis has been saying, but I would like to expand on something that Matt said. If we're going to be concerned about, well, anyone outside the German area won't have a keyboard that lets them type a sharp S, well, that's going to be true of pretty much everything outside the 26 ASCII letters. Some places will be able to type that. Other places will only be able to generate that code point if they have extremely sophisticated users doing the typing. So I'm not sure we need to worry about that specific issue here unless we're prepared to worry about it on every single code point we have past the original 26. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Mats? Mats, if you're speaking, you're on mute, or maybe your mic is not connected. Okay, so Max, we'll come back to you. Signal us when you're ready to speak. I think he's reconnecting now. Okay, so we need to find a way to move forward. So what I hear is that we prefer to expand these two items. Okay, and from last time, I think we agree, just using numbers here, just to give what's the importance. And to make it things easier. Oops, that's not what I want. Okay, so did Matt come back? Matt, you wanted to say something, but you had issues with your audio. You want to intervene now?
Well, yeah, it depends on if it's if I lost the track. But what I want to say is that from a user perspective, there is not much difference between writing a letter which you think is the same letter as Mako describes for the Arabic scenario, and writing a letter and it's kind of converted and you lose connection. For the users, you write something which you think you write the right thing and you don't get it. So that's the same thing for the user.
Yeah, for the user for the user maybe the same, you know, maybe the same result, right? He doesn't get to where he expected to do, but we're talking about in the context of the roots on LGR, what the DNS is supposed to do, right? DNS in the large extent, right? You send a DNS query and you get exact match result. And with a sharp S, it's not always the case, right? If the user makes a typo, which is true for any typos that a user can do, right? Mistyping a character or confusing one with other, the DNS likely will behave as what it's supposed to do, an exact match DNS query and come back with the same resolution, right? But then, yeah, I see as an end result, yeah, the user might not have what they were expecting, but there are two different issues here. We are dealing with the former, the stability issue, where the DNS ecosystem is not behaving as expected.
To be correct, it's actually not the exact DNS system that handles the sharp S to the double S conversion. That is done before DNS. So it's part of the application doing that.
That's why I'm saying the larger DNS ecosystem, right? It starts with the sending the DNS query. Or the application sends a DNS query. That's where the whole thing starts. That's why I'm not specifically talking about, you know, when it gets to a resolver, but the larger extent, the larger ecosystem. Otherwise, we would not be, you know, speaking about this. Okay, so going back to the matrix. So are we good with these three attributes, misconnection, failure of service, and inclusion? The numbers denote what's more important right now as a relative importance. Number one means misconnection is the most important attribute to solve for, followed by failure of service, and then inclusion of in the script LGR. Meika, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to point out that there was a discussion in between Michael or Michael and Bill on that in the chat room just now. And it seems like that we three do not agree on this prioritization. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Mats?
Yeah, I mean, the importance of inclusion versus the failure of service is hard to judge unless you want to use the sharp S. I don't know how important it is felt by the German community. And I think still we raised the issue last time. I think there was, I mean, the situation in Germany today is that .de has sharp S and without any without variant. And is that considered to be a problem? That's something that we actually should have answered, I think.
Well, it's
thank you.
Registry policy. I'm not sure if it's a problem. It looks like there is no problem, but I mean, I don't have any data to support that. Meika.
Thank you. So to respond to Matt's question, linguistically, the situation is stable. That is, both characters are used in a stable fashion. As an individual user from the user community, I would say it is a problem that two are not in a variant relationship, because that would normally be the expectation on the part of the users. And we gave examples for that in the proposal, in the relevant section of the proposal. So from a point of view of the German community, particularly the one from Germany, the letter should be included because it's required essential for self-expression. So, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Also, okay, so going back to the attributes. So in the chat room, there is agreement on one, right? Misconnection is the most important one that we need to solve for. There is disagreement as to the order or failure of service and the availability in the routes on the GR. So what some of you are suggesting, I think Bill, Michael, and Michael, is that it's more important to have a code point in the routes on LGR than the failure of service. So is that what you're saying? It's okay to have this availability even though it could lead to failure of service? Michael, please go ahead.
Sorry, there was an old hand, but my personal answer is yes. Thank you.
That does seem to be what we're all saying, yes.
Well, it's not all. Matt?
Well, I'm thinking of the situation for some letters that look like delimiters. We have in Ukraine, we have something which looked like an apostrophe. We also had for the special letters used for click sounds in some language, and they were not accepted by IP because the risk of something. Exactly what that risk was, I don't know, but it's probably not misconnection, which they see as a risk, but rather as a failure of service, I think. from that perspective, it seems like failure of service is high. But I feel that the way that we try to judge IDN is not very consistent. Sometimes it's another thing. The only thing that seems to be consistent is that we don't like misconnection. We don't like people to be sent somewhere else.
That's correct. So I have hands up. So not sure the order is correct, but I'll just go through what I see top to bottom. So Bill, then Michael, then Michael.
Yeah, Matt, I'm not sure that your analysis on the items that look like punctuation is correct. I don't think the integration panel or whoever said that was arguing that over whether failure or was important or not. I think they were merely reflecting that that's the way the RFC got written by the IETF. So it wasn't, when it comes to items that look like punctuation mark, there's perhaps a judgment call over whether something, how closely something resembles a punctuation mark, but if it does, there is no discretion there. There's no decision about whether failure is more important or inclusion or whatever. That's just the rules we've been handed to live with, whether we think they make any sense or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Meka?
Yeah, thank you. So I agree with Mats that it's difficult to find consistency and that there's not always consistency in our approach. However, I also feel that when it comes, for example, to these code points, which we wanted to include, but which we could not include, such as the sounds used for, the characters used for click sounds, they were excluded on behalf of IP's ruling. They were not excluded because we didn't want to include them because we actually saw a risk. We didn't see a risk from what I remember from our previous consensus. And I also don't think that the reason integration panel would exclude these is because they are concerned necessarily only because of failure of connection. I think the situation is mixed. So with characters which may have some kind of resemblance with the punctuation mark, there may be, it may be a case for misconnection potentially. But in other cases, such as the characters which look like a pipe or a slash, it seems to me that failure of service is not so much of an issue there, because if you have a pipe or a slash, something looking like a pipe or a slash, it would be confused for a slash, and you can't have so many sequences of those in the URL, otherwise it won't be parsed, from what I understand. So it seems that failure of service is not so much the issue, but it was a previously existing situation which we didn't have any influence on. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Matt, your hand was up, but not anymore. Is that correct?
Correct, not anymore. I think we should go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Mirjana has been quiet. Mirjana, anything? Comments?
Oh, I am listening very carefully, but my personal view is that the order of those attributes, I mean, the priority or the value of the attributes should be as some people proposed, misconnection, inclusion, and failure of service. Failure of service is just an end user disappointment. And it cannot harm to anyone. It cannot make any harm to anyone. Failure inclusion is important for people who are using this letter. So I'm just supporting the proposal to change the place of second and third attribute. I mean, to change the priority or the value.
Thank you, Mirjana. I see Michael, your hand's up.
Yeah, just a short comment on Mirjana's comment. I agree that failure of service is just annoyance for users, and maybe this could even lead to the browsers not implementing ITNA 2008 to make them implemented if more and more users say, well, this domain is not working with Chrome, but with other browsers it is. So it's even maybe a good thing that this can happen at some point.
Thank you, Michael. All right, so I think the majority is on the side of, let me do this here just to keep the visual relative importance here. Are we good here?
I think so.
Okay, so now let's move on to assign some weight to it. So 100 being the total number or one, I don't know it's percentage. So let's start with Michael is proposing 50-30-20. Michael saying 60-30-10. Bill 60-30-10. That will okay. So any other comments, observations, opinions? Okay. So, yep, I see I'm following the chat. So, yeah, we're good. So now on to, so we have the weights on each of the attributes. So let's now rate each of the option against those attributes. So let's start with excluding sharp S from the root song LGR. So what would be the rating of, well, let's choose a rating. Are we good with a 1 to 5, or do we want to use something different? Or what's the take here?
Hi, this is Pitinan here. I would like to make a comment.
Sure, Pitinan, please go ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to point it out that from the previous meeting, I think they also discussed that there's a plan to discuss the case where assumingly Chrome and Explorer follow IDNA 2008 at some point. And probably, so I'm not sure, do we want to do this table in two tables? One for the current scenario and another one is if all the browser is follow the IDNA 2008. So just want to point it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. And yes, I recall that conversation and action item. So this matrix would be addressing as the current situation now, and then we can work out a different, perhaps a different take through the lenses of what if Chrome implements a fully compliance with IDNA 2008. But today, this rating table is for the current situation where we have two different browsers treating sharp edge in different way. Meiko, that your hands up, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So first of all, I wanted to say that I think Pitinan's suggestion is good to have two tables for these. And secondly, you asked what kind of rating system we would go for. And I would suggest a simple binary system that is 0 or 1, because either something prevents misconnection or not. Either something is included or not. Either something may lead to failure of service or not. So I think we're looking at binary choice and should therefore give 1 point to all cases where those criteria are fulfilled. Thank you.
Yep, binary is certainly an option. I think I anticipated that we could do that as well. Mats, hands up. Go ahead.
Yes, we have a situation where things are partially solved by something. So then the binary doesn't work well. But we could start with the binary and see how we would handle that. Otherwise, I would suggest the 1 to 3 or 0 to 2, if that is preferred. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good point, Matt. And I think you were referring to the failure of service, right? And between option 2 and 3, whereas when you block the variant, there is no possibility of fixing that, whereas in the option 2, there might be a possibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see no hands up. So, Michael, did that answer your question?
No, could you actually explain it again, please? Thank you.
Sure. For that, I will need to go back to the Visual aid. Can we go back to the visual aid? Thank you. So between option, let's just focus on option 2 and 3, Michael, and on failure of service. So failure of service is, again, if you look at the graphics above, right, when you have fast with sharp edge going to .fast, that's a failure of service. And right, I think we are good on that one, because the application is sending you to a different location where you intended to go to a different one, and you end up with something different. Now, let's not talk about whether that is activated or not. That we're not there yet, but you are going to something different. Now, in option 2, what we're saying, because we want a variant relationship that is allocatable, then that label, the variant with SS, may be activated, right? There is a path to activation because we're making the relation, the disposition value of that variant relationship allocatable. So allocatable means that there is a path to delegation, to activation in the DNS. And if we switch to slide number 2, please, it shows how that might happen. PD9, slide 2, please. Thank you. Right? So the register operator applies for .fast with sharp S, and you have different options here, which are denoted by these trees of boxes here. But making the relationship allocatable, that means that there is a possibility to have failure of service fix, right? There are other parties involved in this process. ICANN cannot control that, but there is a path to do that. Whereas in option three, right? Michael, are you with me thus far?
Yeah, kinda.
Okay. Now, moving on to option three, can we go back one slide, PTNM, please? Whereas in option three, if we make the relationship block, that means there is no way that the variant is activated. Therefore, failure of service will not be addressed at all. Does that make sense? Because there is no path. Making a variant relationship block means that the variant cannot be activated, never. And therefore, the possibility that existed in option two goes away. Does that make sense?
But in a sense, the failure of service problematic, where I'm not sure even sure it's problematic, it's the failure of service problem, where I'm not even sure if it's a problem, is not resolved. It's not a factor anymore, right?
That's a judgment call, but you asked us to explain where is the partial, you know, where might be a partial rating, and this is where option two and three differ in one slight, you know, item, which is path to activation.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. My point being is that I still think it's a binary choice. I think in option three, one factor would be removed. So we can only have a maximum rating of two, and we can only have a minimum rating of zero. Whereas another option, in option two, we can have a maximum of three and a minimum of zero. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you gave either three options, right? 0, 1, 2, or 1, 2, 3?
No, what I mean is that the factor stops being a factor in option three. So therefore, we cannot assign a binary rating that is 0 or 1 to three factors, but only to two in option three. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, so we are at the top of the hour. So I think we need to stop here because unless we want to take just 5 minutes and plug numbers, since there's some values. Up to you guys. I can stay for about maybe 10 minutes more if you are willing to do that as well. Mirjana, your call.
Oh, I have time to stay with you, but... What the other people think, please.
So Michael cannot. He has to go. So it would be unfair if we continue without him.
No.
So
I think we
stop here.
We shall stop here and continue next Thursday. Okay. Thank you all to take your part in today's discussion. Have a nice rest of the day and hear you next Thursday, same time. Bye, and that's all.
Bye all.
Bye everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.